You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mind Your Own Business. I am your host, your guide, your Sherpa for the next hour, carrying you through all of the things that are entrepreneurship, all of the great minds in business. I'm Scott Sullivan. Most of you know me from right here at Inspired News Radio, the host of Mind Your Own Business. Each and every week, we bring to you some of the greatest entrepreneurs, some great business people, people that have great ideas, great services, and this week is no exception. As you know, we are in the midst of right now what is a global pandemic, this COVID-19 that is crushing all of us. So I thought it very apropos to start talking about what's next. What are we going to do as we move forward through this? I mean, the economic crush that's been going on and all of the things that have been happening, not only to get us to where we are today, but also how do we start to see the light at the end of the tunnel? How do we come out on the other side better, stronger, faster, all of those things that we want to be? So I have solicited some of the greatest business people and great entrepreneurs from all over the United States, actually all over the world, and we are addressing these each and every day. Now, we haven't given up our normal format. We're going to talk about origin story, and we're going to talk about what's next, and we're also going to talk about how do we actually work in the environment that we're in today. So my guest, I am so excited. I have Deidre Viney with me today, and Deidre is very uniquely positioned. First and foremost, she is right in the epicenter. The bad news is she's right in the epicenter. She is in Jersey City, New Jersey, with a view of New York City, right across the river from where she's sitting right now, and just absolutely devastating the economy in New Jersey and New York City. As you know, unless you've been living under a rock or in a cave, you know that they have been hit the hardest and things are happening. But Deidre is my guest today because she has a unique perspective that she can bring to this. And that is that she is the owner CEO of Express Pros or Express Professionals in Jersey City. And it is a opportunity for employment. So she has her finger on the pulse of what is happening right now in this economic situation. So, Deidre, let me say, first of all, welcome to Mind Your Own Business. And please tell us if you and your family and everybody you know are all safe and healthy.
Thank you for having me, Scott. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today. And yes, my family is home and healthy and everyone is safe. And we've been homeschooling. My husband and I are two children, so that's been a very interesting adventure. We do have older children, fourth grade and ninth grade, so it hasn't been as challenging as some of my friends who have really young children. But it's been fun to be able to have lunch with my children every once in a while because we too are working remotely right now. So it's been an interesting ride.
Yes, it has. I'm day 39 out here in California. Our governor was very, very quick to act, and we ended up here in California locked down 39 days ago. So for a radio station, that's not too bad because I don't usually have people in the studio. Occasionally I would, but those days are all gone. We don't have anybody in the studio with us now. We're doing everything like we are now remotely through technology. But I am... So first of all, I'm so glad that you and your family are safe and healthy, but I'm also very interested. I really want to get to as quickly as possible what we can do now. I mean, we're all in this devastation mode of, you know, these huge double digit unemployment and millions upon millions of people filing for unemployment and, you know, all of these things, but we are starting to see some some light at the end of the tunnel, maybe, because now the news is saying, you know, we're going to start opening. I think the governor of Georgia said this Friday he's going to start opening some more businesses. Florida's starting to open up a little bit. There are some states that are seeing some signs, but it's not going to come back immediately. So I'm anxious to get to your 10 or 20 tips or tricks of things that we need to know about going forward and what's next. But let's just dive right into the origin story for a few minutes and tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about how this opportunity all came about and a little bit about your background so that we can share with our audience, you know, who we're talking to out there today.
Sure. So I am the oldest of five children, which is always fun to start there. So as my younger siblings like to call me the boss, I was a boss from a young age. But at a young age, I don't know what it was. I just love to create something for myself. I used to have a lemonade stand. I used to sell Girl Scout cookies. And then right out of college, I started a credit training program. And from there, it propelled me to be a commercial lender. And as a commercial lender, I actually had to meet with small businesses to lend them money. Sometimes it was money for working capital. Sometimes it was money for them to buy a building. And so my job was to learn so much about these businesses that it actually sparked my interest into owning my own business. I love their story. I love their energy. I love their drive, and I had a lot of that in myself. And so I just started doing a lot of research. And one of the things that I felt about myself was I really got intrigued by franchising, because the whole concept of being in business for yourself and not by yourself was pretty intriguing to me. And then I also looked at the failure rate of new businesses. And because I was a commercial lender, I was pretty clued in on that, because we actually had to talk about that in our committee. And so I honed in on franchising, and then I found Express Employment Professionals through a variety of ways. And so it was just a wonderful kind of full cycle that I've come to be now on the other side of the table, working directly with people like that I used to be, a commercial lender, because, you know, I borrow money myself to fund working capital. So from that, it's been a great ride. I just really enjoy helping companies find the right talent, and I really enjoy helping people find jobs.
That's fantastic. So, but I just want to put this into context for our listeners, just so you know, this didn't happen yesterday. I mean, you are a real professional, a real Express Employment Professional. You got your franchise, what? I think it's like close to 20 years ago. Is that right?
So, interesting story. I don't think I even told you this, Scott, but interesting story. My anniversary is September 11th, 2000.
Oh, wow.
So on September 11th, 2001, we were going to celebrate our 1 year anniversary. We had reservations at a wonderful restaurant. And as you all know, it was not a great time in New York City. Yes, we do have a view of Manhattan right from my building. I look at the Empire State Building every single day. At that particular time, I was actually living in Jersey City, and I had a view of the World Trade Center right from my apartment building. So it was a very devastating day. But yes, 20 years in business this year in 2020, which is, I can't even make that up. Like, it's just so phenomenal that we have survived. And we've been through now, this is probably going to be our third recession. And this is a pretty big one. It's a pretty big recession, because it's a unique recession where our entire economy is almost coming to a halt in a way. So it's been very, really challenging. But I know that on the other end, we will come out ahead, because at the end of the day, when companies need to hire, they typically look to hire temporary workers first, because they're not sure of demand and whatnot. And so if we poise ourselves properly now, from a staffing perspective, which means we need to identify the right talent now, we will come out ahead. And that's what my corporate headquarters is saying, that recruiting has to be a big forefront for us, because high unemployment does mean we can find more people, but it also means we can find some really good people to place at our clients. And we're looking forward to that. And my staff and I are working really hard to do that around the clock.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense, because you have everything on the spectrum right now. now that is available for the supply side or the candidates? You have everything from PhDs to, you know, laborers, day laborers. So you have everything in between kind of that is available because there's so many different industries affected. It's not like you had a downturn in the, you know, in the airline industry. It's like you've had a downturn in everything. So you have lots of available candidates. Now you have to start filling those spots. Now, tell us a little bit about Express Employment Professionals. And you mentioned temp or contract. Are all of your candidates temp to hire, or do you also do traditional type of recruiting? Or, I mean, you offer a whole lot of other services besides just people. I mean, we talked about HR, we talked about, you know, all the things. I mean, you're a business professional when it comes to the HR side of the world, right?
Absolutely. So Express is, we have over 800 offices throughout the United States and Canada and South Africa. So I'm one little office out of 800 plus. However, because of that, we share a common thread of staffing. We have one corporate headquarters that's located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We got started in 1983. So we actually are celebrating our 37th year in business. And it's been great because as a franchisee, I am able to connect with my other franchisees. We have some of the same problems, right? Some of the same themes. And it's great because we have different people that we can lean on at different times. And this time is definitely no exception. I've called my offices from Washington State. I have a really good friend out there in Washington State. I have a really good friend out there in California. I have friends in Connecticut and obviously New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And we've called each other. We have each other's cell numbers and we call each other to walk ourselves through. Did you apply for this particular federal loan? Did you apply to this SBA loan? You know, and we're all helping each other be, you know, each other's cheerleaders because we know we'll all get through this and we can all get through this together with just supporting each other and being that cheerleader.
And that goes back to what you were talking about is being in business by yourself or being in business for yourself, but not by yourself, because you mentioned the word family or franchise family, where you guys are, you're pulling together. And it also fills in some of those. I remember when you and I were talking in preparation for the show, you talked about filling the gaps, because if you don't have, you know, a strong accounting expertise, there are other franchisees that have that, and you guys can lean on each other to fill some of those business gaps, which then gives you the opportunity to be more successful, also pulling from the resources of the home office, which then shows the strength of being a franchisee, because you obviously are doing something right, being in business 20 years and having suffered through, you know, this being the third recession and 9/11. And I mean, all the things that are going on, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. I mean, there's a lighthouse sitting up on the hill and it's called Express Employment Professionals. So congrats. That's fantastic.
Thank you. And I think that's right. I think a testament to not just me and my team, it's the franchisor. They want you to succeed because when you succeed, they succeed. And they really see it that way. They have a model that they say it's called franchisee first. And that means to them is that when we call up our assistance center, we have a question about whatever, they put our needs first, right? They're kind of always thinking in the face of a franchisee, what's going to benefit the franchisee? And that's a good partnership, right? It's not just it's a one-way street. It's a two-way street. It's a win-win for both of us.
That's great. That's fantastic. So let's dive into a little bit of it. I'd like to find out some ideas that you're having. And I know you've been doing a lot of public speaking lately, because I know that you've been a guest on a couple of other radio shows. And I know that you've got the kind of the presentation you've been doing for, you know, the things that you need to be looking for now. So I'd like for to share that with our listeners today. What are some of the things that you're seeing and finding, not only from a federal, you know, how do I apply for these types of things, but what are the things that we should be doing as either those people that are, you know, furloughed or out of work or looking right now, or those employers from both sides, those employers that are now starting to see their business, they know it's going to come back. And what are the things we should be prepping for and doing now in order to prepare for the next 30 days or 60 days as things start to open back up again? So you can take it from either side first, I or both at the same time. But I'd like to give, I have as many, you know, listeners right now that are, you know, out of work as probably our employers. So let's look at it from both sides of the coin.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I mentioned, you know, just we just talked about a few seconds ago, is that we understand at Express that recruiting is going to be key. And how are we going to pivot ourselves to make sure that we have the right talent when our clients start calling us back? And at the flip side, you have people that are out of work. And so, you know, the thing you're referencing is my 10 tips to find a job now. I've been doing this every Wednesday. I just did one today. And that's been a class that I'm a webinar, kind of a quickie webinar, 30 minutes, that I've given some really critical things that I need to be doing now. For example, get your resume up to date. There's a plethora of webinars also going on for webinar creation. I've done that too, and I'm going to plan to do some more of those kind of webinars too on how to improve your resume, right? There's a lot of things you can be doing now. And if you're sitting home and your resume is outdated because you just got laid off and you haven't had a chance to look at it in a couple of years, now's the time to really sit down and look at it. And there's so many online resources to consider to help you and guide you. And there's even resume writers, you know, for goodness sake, that's a whole nother business. Where you can talk to a resume writer or you can try to do it yourself. Clean up your social media. Those are some of my tips. That's another one of my tips that are in part of one of my 10. Clean up that social media. Now is the time to kind of really look at your social media carefully from an employer standpoint. What does it say about you? How are you positioning yourself? What you don't want is you don't want an employer to look at your social media and that be a strike against you. They don't even pick up the phone to call you because they saw something on social media that was just not appropriate. So it's a good time now to really take a fine tooth comb, because a lot of times people think that your social media profile is private. And to a certain extent, I guess it is. But as we all know, anything on the internet is never private. Someone can share whatever you put out there and they could put it on their page. And now it's now no longer private. It's now public and they can do whatever they want to do with it. We can screenshot things with our phones. And so I just encourage people to really take a hard look at those two things as a great start. There's a lot of other tips right now. If you're out of work or you're nervous about your job, you know, now is the time to really network, right? Really get your LinkedIn profile together. Dust that off as well. If you're not familiar with what that looks like and how to fix it or even where to start, there's so many tutorials to do. If you're all sitting home and you're, you know, wondering, well, where do I go next? You can't put your head in the sand. Now is not the time. This is the time. We've never had this kind of time before to really sit and learn something new. Now's the time you want to learn how to do YouTube videos or, you know, record on YouTube as the young children do. Now's the time to learn. If you want to learn how to update your LinkedIn profile, because I really think that that can be a game changer depending on what level of position you're looking for. A lot of recruiters like myself, we go on LinkedIn to find talent. Is your LinkedIn profile, do you have a professional picture? Do you have it up? Does it mirror your fantastic resume that you're going to update? Have you done the paid version of LinkedIn? There's a paid version. I don't know if people know that side of it, where you're almost like a Google search. You know, Google, you don't get on Google. You don't get to the top of Google by for just because you did it. People pay for that. It's the same way with LinkedIn. And so there's just a couple of those tips that I'm trying to share with folks now, because you do, the people have time. Outside of homeschool, and that's a whole nother dynamic, but have time to really focus on these things, and so that you can, they can better position themselves when the economy opens back up, because it will open back up. And like you said, I heard Georgia's opening on Friday, and some other states might be open as early as next week. I mean, I'm sure New York, New Jersey will probably be last, because we have been really devastated by this virus. But if you're in other cities and other states, and your cities and states are opening up, you need to, this is the time to really hone in on those things, to position yourself so that you are going to be ready to fill out those applications, ready to do the resumes and get it going and go onto these boards. Because if unemployment is going to be as high as they say, it's going to be extremely competitive? And how are you going to position yourself? Right? Those are really
key things. How are you going to set yourself apart? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. So that's great tips. I just want to recap. So first and foremost, if you're a candidate right now and you're either furloughed or out of work, or you think you might be out of work and you might be your job, you may lose your job during the process, during this process, then now is the time to, you know, like you said, get out there and brush that resume off, get it, you know, succinct and clean, and, you know, take off those last, you know, 8 pages off the back that have all been kind of there gathering dust. Get your value proposition, you know, front and center, top of mind, so that when, you know, somebody's reading a resume, if you can't grab their attention in the first 5 or 10 seconds, you're probably not going to keep them. So there are, like you said, tons of resources online. There are tons of consultants that can help you, and resources that you can find either on, you know, YouTube or all the other different, you know, LinkedIn, all the other places that you can find, you know, resume people that can help you with your resume. And then secondly, what I love, what you mentioned, which is, I think is absolutely critical, is you need to get your social media. I mean, more people are getting hired now off of LinkedIn, and, you know, they're not even sending in a resume. A lot of times they're doing a social network search on sites like LinkedIn, and they're just filling in the job description of somebody they want. And you want to make sure that it, you know, it's not you partying on the boat, you know, with a bunch of people and, you know, obviously drunk out of your mind or whatever. You don't want your potential employer to see that. They're not going to go much deeper once they see that, are they?
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm so glad you've mentioned about the resume 8 pages, because I forgot to mention that. So I've been looking at a lot of resumes recently, and I still don't know where the memo got out that a resume should be 4 pages long, or even 3 pages. I really still think a resume should be 1 page. And like you said, there's a survey, a study done that employers look at your resume, give it 7 seconds, seven.
So 7 seconds.
Say a lot in 7 seconds.
Wow. Yeah, you have to be able to say a lot in 7 seconds. You have to be able to get the value proposition at the very first line. You know, I am a, you know, professional radio disc jockey. You know, how do you got to get that out there really fast in 7 seconds.
Exactly. Exactly. And like, you know, I think a 2-page resume might cut it, you know, depends, right? But I just think there's, people, I think somehow the memo got out because resumes are online, right? And so they're just a Word document. You can just go on and on and on and on and on. And we don't have time as recruiters. We just really don't. We want you to cut to the chase. And to that point is, there's not even a real human sometimes reading your resume initially. You know, it may go into an applicant tracking system where it's going to stay. And do you have all those key buzzwords that are going to make you bubble to the surface where a real person's going to look at your resume? You know, those are key things that a resume writer and lots of tips online can help you put some of those buzzwords in there, so that your resume bubbles to the surface versus, you know, stay down there with the thousands.
Wow, that's a great idea. So you just gave me a piece of information I didn't know. So now we're using AI, artificial intelligence, to, you know, you have a candidate tracking system, which I didn't know existed, which is so cool. And if you don't have the right, so you've got to SEO your resume as well as anything else. So, you know, search engine optimization, meaning SEO. Sorry, I'm throwing out some acronyms, but you have to have the right buzzwords in there so that you even get out of the jail. You get out of the resume jail by having the right phraseology and the right words in there. So for sure, seek some professional help when it comes to brushing off your resume. That's fantastic. So already great advice. Okay, so now I've got my resume brushed up. I've checked my social media and it's all, you know, I've got it kind of, you know, pulled together so that it looks more professional. I've got my picture. I've gotten some professional help with my LinkedIn. My LinkedIn profile looks really good. It's at 90%+ complete. I've got all the, you know, I've got my articles I've written in there. I've filled in. I've got some references. I've got some recommendations. All those things are in there. It's all looking good. Now what? Where do I go from here? Come on, Deidre, help me. I need a job.
You're on your way. Because what's going to happen is you have a fantastically written LinkedIn profile, recruiters are going to start coming to you.
And
you need to be ready with a cleaned up email address. I cannot tell you how many times I've emailed people and they say they haven't gotten it because it falls into spam. It's an email address. They don't check that often. They forgot they put that on their resume. Or, you know, the one thing about LinkedIn, unlike a resume, they don't have your phone number on LinkedIn. LinkedIn works off of your email. So it behooves you to make sure that you are using one singular email that you're going to check on a regular basis. If it's anything like my Yahoo, which I have, believe it or not, Scott, 135,000 unread emails. Don't be like me. I filter through that to get the current, but I had to create a new email address and start to give that one out because that's my personal one, my Yahoo one. My business one, my Express one is definitely cleaned up. I'm on top of that one. But my personal one is a mess.
The other thing I was going to throw out there too is I'm going to tell you just from personal experience. Come on, guys, you're out of college now. You're an adult. Get rid of studmuffin123@gmail.com. That's not your email address. Come on.
I didn't go there, Scott. I wasn't going to go there. I say professional email address, a professional phone. You know, I was going to say professional phone number. You know, here's a good tip here. How about this one? How about you create a Google, everyone loves Google, a Google voice number just for your resume. So with the phone number you currently have, you can turn that phone number into a Google voice number. And what happens is Google voice will then, when someone calls you, they have to announce who they are. So now they're going to say Deidre Express Employment. And then you're on the other end, Sky, and you're answering the phone. You're going to hear Deidre Express Employment. Would you like to accept it or reject it? You could say, oh, I'm in the middle of like playing basketball with my daughter. No, reject. And then it goes to your voicemail. And then Google sends you an email that says, hey, you have a voicemail, check it out. So I'm not, subscribing to that, but I'm just saying, I'm sure there's other options like that out there. Because the one thing that drives me crazy as a recruiter is when I call someone and their voicemail is full. I want to scream at the top of my lungs.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, or they answer the phone like, hey dog, what's up? You know,
So if you're out of work, you need to be ready all the time for employers to call you. Yes, I get it. You're going to have those. I get probably 2-3 a day. I started to block them for selling me health insurance, and I have health insurance, but they're still trying to sell it to me. Somehow I'm on some list, and you probably are too. You need to answer your phone as professionally as you can. And yes, there are going to be times when it's not a good time, and that's not the time to answer it. Because I can tell you, Scott, I've had people answer the phone, and you can tell it's not a good time. And I'll say to them, is this a good time? And they'll say yes. And I can hear all kinds of craziness going on in the background. And now they're trying to have a conversation because they're excited because it's an employer. And it's not a good time. Now I'm distracted by what's going on in their background. So if it's not a good time, just say it's not a good time or just let it go to voicemail. But make sure that voicemail is cleaned up, please, because that is one big hot button. And I know a lot of times people don't know their voicemail is full until you find out maybe one of your friends tries to call you and say, hey, buddy, your voicemail's full. Then you don't know how many calls you've missed up until your buddy told you 3 days later.
Yeah, or the one that says, you can leave me a message, but I don't ever listen to my messages. You're better off to text me. Come on, guys. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't you love those?
Yes.
So if you are in the market for a job, you need to take an inventory of all those things. Because when you're working, sure, that might be a cute little message for your friends. When you're out of work, not a cute message.
No, that's great.
That's a whole nother episode, Scott, on voicemail messages, because I've heard them all.
Well, I love it. I just have one quick story because I love what you're saying about is now a good time. It's not a bad thing to not take the call if it goes to a professional voicemail and then call somebody back within 5 or 10 minutes. But I call somebody and you hear in the background, next stop, Liberty Station. And you're going, is now a good time? Oh, yeah, I'm on the train.
Just say it's not a good time. We get it. We understand it's the middle of the day. You're working, you're home, so just be honest.
The dog's barking, the kids crying.
Yes, yes. So those are just some big hot buttons to get
all
you
right,
started.
So now we've covered some big red hot buttons. Now let's flip over to the employer side. So now I find myself as an employer, and maybe my not necessarily in the restaurant business, but maybe my business was like a restaurant where I was able to stay somewhat relevant because I can do online orders, or I can, delivery or curbside or something like that, where, I'm not technically a essential business. So I'm not a grocery store or something like that, but I'm trying to keep my business afloat. Obviously my expenses are still going on and I'm not getting as much revenue. So I've laid off a lot of people, right? I've pulled it all back into, it's just me and my family, or me and my wife or spouse or significant other. And we're holding on by our fingernails. And now they're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel, and orders are starting to pick up, and I'm going to have to start bringing people back on. What should I have learned from this experience, and what are the things that I should be thinking of as an employer? I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is that if I'm a candidate brushing up my resume, shouldn't I be brushing up my job descriptions and my roles and responsibilities and things? Shouldn't I be thinking about that as an employer? Where should I go with this, Deidre?
Absolutely. And so I will tell you that the innovation I have seen of business owners over the past month has been fantastic. As you have to pivot as a person looking for a job, you now have to pivot your business. And what does that look like? So for example, if you were a restaurant and you probably had 50 things on your item, one of the things I've noticed is they've narrowed it down to a handful of their favorite items that they know that their customers order. And they started doing packages of family of four. And I love that. I have a family of four. I just go onto the website, click, 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 click. It takes the guesswork out of my ordering. And then we're happy campers. I love how the innovation has happened from restaurants, because they have been the most devastated, as we've seen. They have had to pivot literally overnight. They've had to go from being a sit-down restaurant to a curbside pickup, and they've made it work. And I hats off to those innovators. And I think as the world opens back up, and we've already heard hubbubs of the fact that people might be nervous initially going out and sitting down at a restaurant. What does that look like to you? How are you going to be addressing social distancing at a restaurant? Because I love to eat out, and I love to sit down and eat out. And so what does that look like? Can you make tables further apart? Are you going to have a situation where are your people, waitresses, are they going to wear masks? Are they going to wear gloves? What does that look like to make me as a consumer feel comfortable coming in? And even on other businesses that aren't necessarily restaurants, they too have to figure out how to pivot. One of my clients actually services Manhattan restaurants, and he actually does raw materials and whatnot to them. And so they obviously have been super devastated by this. But when restaurants come back, they too will be busy. But how do they pivot their business now that it may not come back 100%? It might only come back 50%. I'm gonna give a shameless plug to temporary staffing, as I do. That is one component of what we do, because it is a way for you to ramp up your staff in a very quick way. I mean, obviously you want to call back the people that work for you. I would start there first. I'm not trying to say start with new people. Start with the people that work there. They know the business. They know you. You know them. But after that, after you've exhausted that, another opportunity is to bring temporary workers on, because they can allow you to pivot your business. You might just get orders in a big burst and you need people to come in for a week, 2 weeks at a time. You don't have a commitment for a full-time worker like you would if you use a temporary staffing, which is why my opinion is that, and we've seen in history, temp staffing comes back first. We are a leading indicator of an economy because of the example I just gave. You're going to find a temp person just to get you over the hump. And then, eventually those jobs can turn full-time. So they might not just stay temp forever. They can eventually become full-time because maybe your business is busy all the time. And I have a ton of stories that are like that. They've hired a couple people, and next thing you know, the people are there full time. And so those are ways that I think that businesses need to sort of think outside the box. And they've been super creative. I've been on webinars literally every day, and the innovation that I've heard from business owners has just been really, really refreshing. because it is not easy to be a consultant of your own business overnight. And some of them, believe it or not, have solicited marketing consultants who do that for a living, right? Their job is to really think and pivot for you and help you throw some ideas in your head if you can't think about them, you know, just to kind of, you know, just to kind of throw a bunch of things on a plate and say, let's try some of these and see if it works. So maybe you might, as a business person, you might want to talk to one of these marketing gurus. They're out there and they want your business too. Engage with them to see if they can come up with some ideas to help you pivot if you can't think of anything right now.
That's excellent. That's absolutely a great idea. So here's a question that I had, and this is this came to me from one of my online listeners. They sent this in to me just for in preparation for this show. I was asking a few questions to some of my potential employers, and one of them made the comment, and it was more of a comment than it was a question. But his question was, should I take this time to evaluate the performance and the quality of that employee during the last, you know, I've had to, it was the great equalizer. I basically had to shutter the store. So there was nothing, there was no business. And I laid everybody off, including my, you know, who were my managers and who were my people, my go-to. And then is now a time to reevaluate that? In what roles do I want each of those people in? And was that the right person for the right fit? And now that I'm going to be bringing people back, is this the time to actually, you know, shake things up and re-qualify and reassign, you know, people that were maybe in a more lackadaisical role that weren't, you know, being like they were when they first started years ago? Is this the time, or is it better just to get the body back and try and figure it out later?
No, I think that's a really good point, that this is absolutely the time to evaluate your current staff. Are they on the right seat on the bus, as the saying goes? And if not, is there someplace else? Is there another seat you can put them in? Look at their skill set. You know better because you've evaluated them over this period of time. Look and see where you can best place them when the world comes back together and you need to operate your business. Or, you know, have an honest conversation with that employee. Do they want to come back? Because sometimes you might find the employee was unhappy and they're looking for something else. So I think
that's both a great point.
Come together and make a decision if it's a good fit for both, right? Because it always has to be a win-win. If someone's losing, then everybody's losing, right? So I think that if you are looking at your current talent pool, and in that example, if you let everybody go, because we have scenarios like that too, right? You let everybody go, you know, and it was just you, and now you want to bring everybody back. Now you really need to make an assessment of, as you're pivoting, right? What does that look like? And have that sort of conversation with your team to evaluate where they fit into your grand scheme of, or not scheme, but your grand vision for the organization, right? Where do they fit in it? And sometimes you might even want to have this conversation with them. If you have a couple key people on your team, then you want to bring them back first. You know, they were the top of the line. If you lose them, that would be really devastating to your business. Maybe have a conversation with those individuals first. Have a management meeting with those individuals, those key players, and get some input from them. Right? Because you don't want to be the only man on the island either. As an entrepreneur, sometimes it feels like that. You feel like the only person on the island. You want to get your team members in and get their input. And because they might say, you know what, Joey was good with this, but wasn't good with that. We can pivot him and have him do this instead. Or, you know, why don't you might mind finding that you might actually have an opening that you didn't even think about. You know, because you might say, you know what, I really need somebody to do marketing, because now marketing is more important than ever. And we really didn't have that person. And if Susie doesn't want to do marketing and bring her back, then unfortunately, we might not bring Susie back. We might need to find a marketing person. And now is the time, because there's tons of people on the street, to start looking for that really top talent, because there will be a lot of people available of all levels.
And that brings me to the next question. And I have a question regarding this. So there's always this, well, you're so overqualified for this position. We're going to have a lot of people that are way overqualified. And I think there's two schools of thought, and I'd love to hear your opinion. Either I can take a, you know, the next 6 months is going to be kind of rough in the community with everybody trying to find a job. But if you find somebody that has 20 years experience and was making, let's just use an example of, say, twice the amount that you can offer, but they're willing to work with you now because they need a job and they're willing to take that pay cut and maybe see where this goes. What's your opinion on hiring the overqualified now, knowing that if the economy does come roaring back in 6 months, that there's a very high likelihood that person's going to go where they can get, you know, where they can actually make more money. What are the pros and cons of that? Just kind of walk me through what your opinion on that is.
So the pro is, you know, a lot of companies don't want to do that, I'll be honest with you. However, we're in different times. And the pro to me, and the person, again, it has to be a win-win, is that you can get an amazing amount of talent at your budget, right? If your budget was 100, if your budget was 50 and this person wants 100, but they need to work, they need to keep the lights on, something coming in the door, and they're willing to work for 50. As long as you guys come with an understanding, again, a conversation that says something to the effect of, okay, you know, Mike, I know that you've got this kind of experience. You would be a fantastic asset to me, but let's bring you on as a consultant, a contractor, if you will, for 3 month renewable, right? 3 months at a time, 3 month renewable period of time. I want you to try to give me some time. Because if we just keep it open-ended, then now it might be bad to me as the employer because you could just leave at a moment's notice, right? Or a month at a time, if you think 3 months is too long, a month at a time. And every month it can be renewal. We can either agree to stay together or we can agree to go apart. The con to though is that Mike really wants 100K. Mike really wants a position that's going to pay him double. And he might spend some time and effort looking for that position. And sometimes it might be on your dime. And you would hope, that's why I think it's important to have those honest conversations up front to say, these are what my expectations are, and don't waver. Just because you're paying him half of what he wants doesn't mean that your expectations should be half, right? If you're going to agree to it, he's got to either be in the job or not in the job. It can't be a half job because I'm making half the amount of money. That doesn't work. So I think that it can work for both parties if you kind of come in with an understanding of, we're just going to make this a rolling, like a month to month, like you would a rent, right? We're going to go month to month with each other. Until you get something, you're going to give me the courtesy of letting me know you found something. And you're going to end up, that company doesn't need you to start tomorrow. Most companies, you want to give 2 weeks notice. Some companies even let you give a month notice, you know, depending on the role. So as long as you're going to give me some notice, give me enough time to find somebody else, 2 weeks, maybe, maybe not. But at least we have a mutual understanding. You're not going to leave tomorrow, right?
Right. And then you can use that resource that you wouldn't be able to normally afford to get to help maybe improve processes, clean up your forms, whatever it is that person does that can get you into the next. And there could also be the case that if that person brings enough revenue, then there is an opportunity to make 100K. But right now, the business can't support that. But if we can get the business to that point because of your efforts, then there could be that opportunity. Or at least maybe we could meet the middle at 75 or whatever. I understand what you're saying. I love that advice. So if you're a employer, a potential employer out there right now, that's great advice, Deidre. That's exactly that's the answer right there. And I didn't even cross my mind because I thought it was going to fall down on one side or the other like a coin toss, but it actually landed on edge. So that was good. That was good. You are good.
Really, really important with you and the listeners, because I've seen this happen before. Back in 08, 09, when the economy literally fell apart, you know, with the financial crisis, there were really overqualified people that were out of work for a year, 2 years, 3 years. And you saw lots of news articles on that. And I remember talking to a lot of those people. And one of the things that bothered me at that time was that they weren't willing to bend. They were like, this is what I'm worth. This is what I make. I want this. They weren't willing to see that they might actually be out of work for a really long time because they were at a level that most companies don't look at that level all the time. And so I just don't want that to happen again to people that are super high level. Look at your skill set. Look what else could you be doing. Sometimes I say you can even volunteer at your church to do their books or volunteer for an organization, these nonprofits, they too are going to be devastated by this economy. They rely on people to give them money. And if people aren't working, they're not going to donate, or corporations might not even give to a level because they're not doing well. Can you donate your time and energy to a wonderful nonprofit that you believe in their mission that's local to you? Maybe you go in 2 days a week, or maybe you work from home 2 days a week. Whatever it is, you want to keep your skill set fresh. Because I can't tell you, back when that happened, 08, 09, I saw so many resumes, Scott, 2 years, 3 years out of work, nothing, zero for 3 years straight. Who's going to hire you? It's very, very challenging.
That's great. So what great advice, Deidre. That's why you are a pro. That's why you are right there in the thick of things, because that advice is so strong. That is so great. I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate it. And I know my listeners will too. So as we wrap up here, tell us a little bit about, you know, what's next for, you know, Express Employment Professionals in Jersey City. What can we do? How do we reach out to you? If I'm a listener right now, you know, anywhere in the world, and I want to thank you for this fantastic advice that you're giving, how do we get a hold of you, and what are the things that we can do for you?
So yes, and I thank you so much for the time. So our website is simply expresspros.com, expresspros.com. We are the location of Jersey City, New Jersey. But if you're throughout the United States, I'm for sure we have a location near you. All of our jobs are listed on our website. Jersey City is, like I said, 20 years in 2020. So we are pounding the pavement. I'm going on my dog and pony show for my 10 tips. And I'm doing that on a weekly basis on my Zoom webinar. So love to have to connect with anyone on LinkedIn. I'm a big networker. That's one of the things we didn't really talk about, Scott, but I'm a big networker, and LinkedIn is a great way to network with folks, even that you don't know that well. And so connect with me on LinkedIn, and I can connect you with a member of my team if you're looking for a job. If you go into my LinkedIn profile, you'll see access to me, and you can email me your resume directly, and I can get it to a member of my team to get you working.
That's fantastic. So we will, on Inspired News Radio, all of my listeners know this. All you have to do is go to inspirednewsradio.com. You go to the show hosts and find my smiling face, and there'll be a picture of Deidre right there on Mind Your Own Business. And right below her picture, you'll have all those contacts. If you can't find her on LinkedIn under Deidre Viney, then you can simply just go to the inspirednewsradio.com site, click on her, this show and her links, and it'll have all of those contact information. We'll have her website there. We'll have her LinkedIn profile. We'll have all the things where you can find everything that you need to get a hold of her. And if you're an employer or an employee and you're looking for a job, or you're looking to hire, or you want resources, she loves to network. I know this for a fact. I mean, we've been networking together now for the last few months, and she is absolutely an outstanding, outstanding resource. And you can see her worth right here. She's just brought us, you got these nuggets laying there like chunks of gold. So pick them up and make sure you clean it up. So we're going to do a real quick recap. If you're an employee candidate, if you are looking for a job or thinking about changing jobs, or you're working through this process of, you know, some of the fear and some of the stuff that's going on with the economy, then get your resume cleaned up. And there's a whole list of things that you can do underneath that topic. Get your social media cleaned up. Make sure that you're presenting yourself to the world in the right way. Get a professional email and voicemail. And again, like Deidre said, get on her Zoom and she'll give you the 10 things that just about voicemail that you can do. But there's all kinds of things underlying. And if you're an employer and you have been affected by this, which just about all of us have, if you're an employer, then now's the time. Refresh. Look at your business from a different set of eyes. Get that. I love the advice she said. Get that high level person that you can get for on sale. You can get the best of the best in that category and have a frank and honest conversation with them and say, look, under normal circumstances, I couldn't afford you. And under normal circumstances, you wouldn't work here, but let's do something together that gets you through the next few months. And in the meantime, let's have a service level agreement. Let's have a agreement, a handshake, if nothing else, that says, hey, you'll give me, you know, 3 weeks notice so I can replace you or whatever. But in the meantime, I'm going to help your family. You're going to help me as a business owner, and we're going to collaborate. And maybe it's a contract instead of an employer employee relationship. I love that advice. So Deidre, you are just, you're a font of knowledge and a wealth of information. And I'm so glad you decided to come out and hang out at Mind Your Own Business today.
Thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, like I say every week, and it's a fantastic opportunity right now. Let's not dwell on the horrific things that are going on with the pandemic. Let's look ahead to that light at the end of the tunnel. Let's figure out how we can make this work for all of us. Deidre's already said it. We're in it together. There's over 800 franchisees all over the United States for express employment professionals. So there is somebody out there to help you. We are in this together. Let's remain social. I always put that hashtag out there. Hashtag remain social, but keep your physical distance. So hashtag physical distancing, but let's remain social. Let's not turn off our interaction between people. Let's just do it from a physical distancing position, and let's keep it going. And like I say every week when we sign off, I could not do what I do without you, the listener. You guys are the very best. I love it. I love your feedback. I hope you will reach out to Deidre, and I hope you'll network with her, get on her LinkedIn, always send me feedback on the shows. I love it when I get your guys' feedback. That's always fantastic. But like I say at the end of every show, mind your own business, because nobody else is going to. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio.com. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.